The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
It is time for What to Watch on the big screen and small, and I'm joined with Shane in studio by Chris Wasser, arts journalist and Sunday Independent film critic, and entertainment journalist Serena Bellissimo. You're both very welcome, guys.
Hello.
Serena, Supergirl.
Yeah, I was so excited about this one because, a part of me
there's
was.
There's a bot coming up here, yeah, isn't it?
Well, we've got an Australian lead playing, Millie Alcock is playing Supergirl, and it's directed by an Australian as well, Craig Gillespie. So I was going in going, yay, this is going to be brilliant. I'm really disappointed that she didn't get the movie she needed. So basically, this is part origin story. It is based on Supergirl, who we get to know a lot about her. She's named Kara. She's living on this planet where her powers don't actually work. Then this little girl comes to the planet. Tell me when I'm giving away a spoiler. I'm not doing spoilers yet. Little girl comes to a planet to say, I want to avenge my parents' death. I need someone to help me. She's not going to help the little girl until her dog gets involved in this. She needs to save her dog's life. So this is why she's helping this little girl avenge the death. And then they travel to all these different galaxies where she has her powers and they try and avenge the death.
Is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's a turkey.
That is brilliant, Shane. That's one of your better ones. I like that one. I'm really disappointed because I thought she deserved better. I was saying to Chris outside that, you know, when you get other superheroes, they get to save the world. Her storyline, I felt like, wasn't really that big. She got to save her dog. Why didn't she get to save the world like every other superhero gets to do?
Yeah, it's very silly. It's based on a comic book called Woman of Tomorrow, and I think they were going to call it that. I'm glad they went back to Supergirl. But it kind of feels like someone watched a version or read True Grit and said, let's do that, but with superheroes. And it's like, that's not, you know,
it was a good movie though.
True Grit is a good movie, but that idea of, you know, this kid seeking out, you know, the strongest and also drunkest loner in town to help her, you know, avenge the parents' death. It is totally True Grit, but with capes and with flying dogs. And I know that sounds fun, but it really isn't. And it feels like the film is constantly running away from itself because it has every now and then these flashbacks to Supergirl or Kara's origin story and how, you know, her parents actually managed to escape Krypton before it blew up and how when she eventually did come to Earth, Superman helped her find her voice and her powers and this language and helped her discover Blondie. You know, I want to see that film and I kept running away from that film. It's like, go back. And I think they did that in the last Superman film, didn't they?
And then they tried to, like, it was like it was a whole heap of different films as well. They weren't sure what they wanted to do. So they had that little bit of the origin story where we were all interested. Yeah. And then we're like, oh, is this a bit of Guardians of the Galaxy? This could be a bit of fun. Then it was like, sorry, the minute they turned into Star Wars, you know, I'm not a massive Star Wars fan, but all these freaky, creepy aliens just came on board. And I'm just like, I didn't sign up for this film. And then it was like the action, when there was an action sequence, it was almost like someone said to Craig Gillespie, here you go. Here are all the explosions in the world. Use them as much as you like.
Is it that they're trying to just get new angles on old, slightly hacked? I mean, there's been so many superhero movies at this stage. Marvel and DC have mined that seam, that vein over and over and over and over again. Are we just a bit jaded? And now they're trying to kind of create new versions or new angles or new twists. And it's just silly.
And I think sometimes just go back to what we want. I want Supergirl with her cousin Superman saving the world. I think this is why the only superhero film I get excited about anymore is Spider-Man, because it does what it says on the tin. Yeah. He's living on Earth and he's going to save us from everyone.
You gotta keep it simple as well. Yeah. There's this, like, there are too many superhero stories I know on the small screen.
I was going to say, here's a mad idea.
Yeah.
How about Hollywood stop making superhero movies? Because I don't know about anyone else. I have zero. I'm not the target market, obviously, but I'm sick of them. I have no interest.
There really are, at this point, only maybe 3 or 4 a year. I think we get maybe two in the summer,
like
one at the start of the year, one at the end of the year.
It's cumulative as well, isn't it?
We were getting more of them. But with something like Supergirl, you need to start at the beginning there. Because mainstream film audiences, I know there was a television series, they don't need to be, they may not need to be introduced to Clark Kent again. We know that story. But with Kara Zor-El, Supergirl, they don't. So don't start in the middle, start at the beginning. Keep it very, very simple and audiences will show up.
All right. Chris, give us your pick for the week.
Jackass, best and last. Is it though? So it's 26 years since Johnny Knoxville went out into a field and shot himself in the chest and filmed it. And that was the beginning. That was the genesis. of Jackass, a stunt that should never, ever, ever under any circumstances be repeated. And they knew this, and that scene was never actually shown on television or never actually shown in a film, despite the fact that the film version, the original film from 24 years ago, said this is the stuff that we weren't allowed to show you on the box. But this is the clip that, you know, started everything. So they show us this clip this time. Why? Because they really are coming to an end, and because they're looking back but also looking forward and saying, okay, let's give audiences all the clips they loved in one place, extended sequences too, and then let's try and add in a few, I say try and add in a few new stunts, because at this point, some of these guys can't afford to get any more concussions. I mean, Johnny Knoxville is more of a ringleader or a commentator throughout the new stunts in this film, because he's told.
He's also older as well.
He is, yeah. I mean, these guys are in their 50s. Yeah. So, like, the idea.
Still young.
I mean, but, like, you know, he can't be getting hit by a ball anymore or taking a football to the groin anymore. It's just not good for him.
Do you remember Anaconda Ball Pool, where you went into, like, you know, a ball pool that you put little kids into play in play centres? But there was anacondas in the pool. And like, he was coming out and they were biting him. He was blood pouring. Like, they did crazy things.
They really did. And the unfortunate thing about it, we can sit here and say, oh, they were crazy, and also maybe, you know, stupid things to put yourself through. We do laugh. They are very funny. So they're, and this film reminds us of why this, you know, franchise has stuck around for as long as it has.
I was kind of a fan back in my 20s. Oh, the vomit omelette and all these disgusting things that they did.
Brad Pitt kidnapping. Do you remember that?
Oh, so many things.
Yeah,
Well,
Brad Pitt was a friend, and he actually said, can I be involved in a stunt? So what they decided to do was, and they reveal in this film that they actually called up police in Los Angeles and said, you're going to get calls tonight saying Brad Pitt has been kidnapped. Ignore them. So what they did was they went around Los Angeles.
What do the police do when they get a call like that? Oh, okay. Yeah, no worries. We'll ignore that.
Yeah, don't pay any attention to that. Brad Pitt was queuing outside of, I think it's outside of the cinema or something. And a van pulls up and they say, Brad Pitt, we love you. You know, can we get an autograph? And he won't give them an autograph, so they kidnap him. And so people are left standing around going, oh my God.
Does Brad Pitt think he's being kidnapped?
He was in on it. But he decided to actually put on one of the best performances of his life.
Of his career.
He wouldn't get into the van. It's very funny. Also, the golf course air horn incident is in there. There are new things as well. I won't go into them too much because probably can't. But one of them involves Steve-O. Remember him?
Yeah.
In very good shape now, looking after himself. But not in this stunt. He receives a prostate exam from a robot.
Oh.
It's painful to watch. I'm sure it was painful to get as well.
That doesn't sound safe.
No.
Look. I don't know that I would go to the cinema to see it, but when it hits the telly, I think I might.
You'd watch it on streaming, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think I probably would.
Yeah, I wish them the best.
No.
No. Would you watch it in fast forward, Shane?
No.
Not the prostate exam.
lastly, before we move, because they were of their time. I mean, they're 20-odd years ago, so they were not politically correct. I'm thinking of lots of things that they did.
No.
Is it still like that?
Okay. Oh, yeah. They will bow to nobody and nothing.
Are they still like kind of high school kids who've never
But there's in a sense that this really is it, because Johnny Knoxville at one point, he does get quite emotional. There is a sense that they've all actually realized we can't do this again, you know, we do have to grow up, our doctors told us to, so there is a sense of finality to
it's
this.
It's tragic at 52 when you have it to grow up, isn't it?
Yeah.
Serena, what else you got?
Okay, this one I can't talk about a lot, but we have to talk about it because this is embargoed until tomorrow, day of release. I'm talking about The Bear.
Oh, yeah.
It's season 5. It's the end of The Bear. They've said to us, we're getting no more. This, I think we can all agree, I think, that when this first came out, this was exceptional TV.
Mm-hmm.
This was amazing. You know, it was about life, running a restaurant in a really hard industry in Chicago. 5 seasons is too much. And the other thing I think we can all agree on is this is not a comedy. And yet it kept winning all the awards for comedy.
I didn't understand. But then again, I think sometimes I don't always get things that are now comedies.
Well, no, I think what happened in that case was it came out at the time of Succession. And if they went up against Succession in drama, they'd win nothing. So they found a way to call this comedy. This is far from a comedy. I'll say spoiler alert just in case you haven't seen season 4, but at the end of season 4, there's this major bombshell that Kami drops and we pick up on the next day. What I can say is that this season is unlike the other seasons, and I don't know why they did this. It's almost like The Pit. It's set on one day. Now, it's not in real time, but it is set on one day.
And the whole season.
Yeah, I've seen 7 of the 8 episodes. I'm not giving a review. All I'll say is it's a lot, like it's very tense, as you know The Bear to be, but it's very tense and dark and all on the same day.
I only watched I didn't even finish the first season. I watched,
really?
And the reason I didn't is I found it so incredibly stressful.
Oh, it's very stressful.
To watch.
Don't binge it.
And I was at home at the time because I had had surgery and I was off work and I thought, oh, I'm going to get, everyone says it's great. And my kids were saying, everyone I knew was saying it was great. And I got, lay back on the bed and was like, here we go. And my stress levels went through the roof, and I was like, "I can't even finish this season. I need the Gilmore Girls or something at the moment. I can't do it." And I never went back. I couldn't.
It got less stress. Like the first season was very stressful, wasn't it?
Yeah,
and
the first season,
like I could see it was really good, but I was not in that mind to watch it.
This season is back at the stress levels of
the beginning.
First season, and because it doesn't go to anything else but the. Like, because it's set on the same day, you don't have the other storylines sort of alleviating the stress. But if you want to say goodbye to the bear, and you will, if you've been in it for four seasons, I think you're going to want to see the fifth. Yeah. It all drops tomorrow, 8 episodes, ranging between 30 and 50 minutes long on Disney Plus.
It's kind of weird, isn't it, that the first season felt like a panic attack, but the second one was like a weekend away. And I always recommend it to people, but at the same time, and it feels like a lot of shows are like this now.
Yeah.
You have, when you're recommending a show to a friend, you say, I know the first, watch this show, but the first season is quite stressful, but yeah, you have to watch that to get to the actual second season. It seems like such a challenge, but it is worth it. The second season of The Bear is brilliant.
I might go back. Maybe it was just where I was at the time,
but
I found it incredibly stressful to watch it.
Okay. Chris, what's your choice?
House of the Dragon. Are you a fan?
I haven't seen it, I'll be totally honest.
Game of Thrones?
Nah.
Okay.
Sorry.
I was kind of the same. Are you a fan of Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon?
Game of Thrones, yes, but I haven't done any of the House of the Dragon.
I've always been quite casual in my interest of Game of Thrones. I mean, you know, tried to read the books. I didn't finish them. Watched 6 seasons of Game of Thrones, gave up, so never got to see the last 2 terrible seasons, by all accounts.
Really? I admire that. I respect that.
That I dropped out.
That you walk away.
Yeah.
Because I think I couldn't. You know, if you think it's bad,
I dropped out at season 6 too.
Okay. I think I remember thinking, that's it. I'm done with that. Knight of the Seven Kingdoms earlier this year, which aired on HBO and had our own Peter Claffey in it. I loved that. That was like this medieval buddy comedy. It was so much lighter in tone. It was only about half an hour long each episode. Dexter Sol Ansel worked very well with Peter. It was brilliant. Very funny. Not what you'd expect from Game of Thrones. But we're back in the main arena with House of the Dragon. And I am not going to attempt to tell you the plot of House of the Dragon if you have not watched any of it. All I'll say is that the first 2 seasons were very wordy, very complicated, and were all about the Dacarian family division. So this is set 200 years before Game of Thrones. The Dacarian family, they rule the Seven Kingdoms of Westeros, but they're all fighting. They're all squabbling over actually who gets to sit in the Iron Throne, and it's all been leading to a civil war which plays out in the third season. So the first couple of hours of the third season...
It sounds like the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party.
Yeah. It's all very relatable. It absolutely is. But the first couple of episodes of season 3, it's all about battle. It's all about war at sea. There's lots of dragons. There's lots of explosions. There are a lot of deaths, which we can't disclose. And if anyone watched the first episode at the start of the week and was thinking, this feels like a season finale, that's because it was supposed to be. I think the last season was actually shorter than the creators actually wanted, so they decided to start the season with an episode that should have ended last season.
That's unusual.
It's discombobulating, for sure. It doesn't make for good television.
Does it not? I was going to say, does it mean there was an amazing first episode? No.
No, it kind of felt like the end of something, so then the next episode, it's a little bit... The narrative in this thing is all over the place. Even if you know what's going on, and I just about know what's going on, you will be confused. You will have to chase it. It's a challenge for viewers. And I don't think there's enough plot to go around. They did say that they're going to end it on the fourth season, but that's still maybe 16, 18 hours of television away. It's a lot. And you know what? It's not fun to watch. It can be so bleak, so grim. I tend to close each episode feeling a little bit miserable. So I'm not sure how long I'm going to stay.
Thanks for taking it for the team.
Yeah. Okay. Fair. Serena, what's your last one?
I'm so excited about this one. If you are a Madonna fan and you're a Graham Norton fan, I've been missing him on Friday nights. He has, the word exclusive gets bandied around a lot. This is, I know she did do an interview with Interview Mag, but this is a world exclusive, a sit down with Madonna, Friday night, Graham Norton. It's set in Coco, which is in Camden. That's where she first performed. She released Confessions of a Dance Floor in there. She's going to release Confessions 2 there. I can't wait. I just can't wait. And Chris and I were saying the last time she was on Graham Norton, she was a bit, like, difficult to interview, and he said that himself. Why is he doing it again? I reckon he's doing it again.
Because it's not, Madonna.
Exactly. And she's not sharing the spotlight with anyone, right? Yeah. So she is Madonna and everything is on her. I cannot wait. Friday, 10:40 p.m, BBC One. I'm not sure if it's being repeated. Usually it tends to be repeated on Virgin Media. I forgot to check. So just in case it's not, if you're not in, set your recorder because you won't be able to watch it back on the iPlayer.
Yeah, true. So, unless you've got a VPN or whatever.
So I can't wait for that one. I think it's going to be brilliant.
Yeah, I saw the last time she was on it and she was awkward, but I thought she was just being Madonna. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think there was one Australian interview with a woman called Kate Lambrook and she was very comfortable with her and she gave a great interview. And I think Graham's going to be able to get her in that comfortable mood. She's ready to talk. She really wants to promote Confessions too. She wants to get us up dancing on the dance floor. I think we're going to see a great interview.
Okay.
Good stuff. All right. Guys, thank you as always for joining us, Chris Wasser and Serena Bellissimo. Thank you for telling us what to watch and maybe more importantly, what not to watch.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.